welcome to a brand new show here on Psycho Jellyfish. This is Last Coin at the Arcade, the spiritual successor to No U-Turns at the Drive-In, where we, the host, Lucas Wilson and...
Hey, Norton.
Review some of the worst games out there, past and present. Today, we bring to you a particularly special gem, which we stumbled across on the internet, known as Damnation. Would you like to give a synopsis, Kay?
I would, except there's no plot to this game. You play as Captain Rourke, who is a blatant Indiana Jones ripoff.
Well, you can make good Indiana Jones ripoff. You know, you got Nathan Drake from Uncharted.
Yeah, there's Han Solo. But I guess Indiana Jones is more of a Han Solo ripoff. This game is set in an alternate history of Earth, where someone named Prescott is attempting to unite the Union and Confederate during the Civil War over one flag for a new American empire.
Is that all the propaganda? Is that from the propaganda?
Yes.
I just remember him. He's just trying to make a new empire.
And this Prescott has decided to introduce serum to all his soldiers, essentially making them super soldiers and making them go crazy with serum. All
right.
So yes, you play Captain Rourke with his ragtag band of rebels, including a girl who doesn't wear a shirt, and some Spanish guy and a professor. And throughout the course of the game, I realized that I don't care about any of them.
So, essentially, what you're saying here is, this is Steampunk Civil War. So essentially, like you said, the super company comes out of nowhere, conquers the Union Confederacy, and then all of a sudden there's, like, resistance forces trying to undo it, although I never see any, like, alternate army, just these five characters.
Yeah, and you don't, like, I played 2 hours into this game, and I didn't have a clue who was going on.
Oh, I didn't know either, yeah.
Or who the main villain was. All I knew that Prescott was bad.
Because you were fighting him.
Yes.
And there was, like, crap load of propaganda posters, and there was the whole game, when you entered a new level, there was, like, new propaganda audio playing, and it would just loop the entire time you're playing.
Oh, God. It would loop and repeat and repeat. And, you know, at first that was kind of cool. It's like, oh, it's this cool immersion. It shows you the sort of dictatorship. But, you know, by the fifth time you're hearing the same message about half rations, you're like, just shut up, okay? There are better ways to indoctrinate people than driving them crazy.
Yeah, maybe if you were, like, you heard this from one speaker in, like, one corner of the map, where, like, you pass it once in a while, you can hear it, but, like, the whole time, no matter where you are in the game, you can hear propaganda. I didn't get a chance to finish it. I did play, like, 2 hours worth, which is probably pretty much all you can really bear, because you get to a point where you need to travel on steampunk motorcycles to save the Doctor, because he gets captured, they're completely undrivable. You keep running into the walls and hitting cliffs and getting stuck.
Oh, and because they're powered by steam, they can do shit like go on walls.
Yeah.
You know, normal motorcycles can't do that because they're powered by, you know, gas, apparently, but steam motorcycles can say fuck to physics.
Yeah, they're...
Can tell physics to shut up and sit down, that's what I mean.
But that was also, like, a problem, because sometimes I'd come out of a cave not knowing what direction I'm heading, because, like, oh, I was on the wall, and then all of a sudden I'm crashing and dying because I didn't go off the ramp, I went off into, like, a cliff.
Now, there's a very similar game online. It's like a little flash game called Run. It's surprisingly similar to the motorcycle mechanics, where if you get too close to a wall, you get to go on it and the whole level flips. Except Run handles so much better than this game.
Oh, yeah.
The controls were so counterintuitive. Like, I was playing on a PC, so it might have been better if I was on a console.
I don't even know if it was on... Oh, it did. It did get released on... It got released on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. And Windows. We played it on the Steam version. But the graphics on this don't reflect the platforms that they were released on. It was it was like basically last gen. It all looked from like the previous, like Xbox and PS2. The graphics were pretty terrible.
Yeah.
And all the set pieces were like really boring. You didn't really have like a sense of place.
I didn't realize that 18th century America was populated entirely by canyons.
Oh, yeah.
And everything is brown. Like, you know, brown is the new thing because real is brown in games. But the thing is, if you are creating a game where in the first scene you show Abraham Lincoln standing between two mechs, realism has been tossed out the window, so give us some color.
Yeah, it's like the whole...
it's just indistinguishable from everything around it.
It's like the whole war took place in the Grand Canyon, which was, I think, at that time largely unexplored.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to sneak any form of history in there.
No, it's steam. Steam lets you do things that have never been done before.
The,
like mechas.
You're playing this guy named Captain Hamilton Rourke, and you've got...
Hamilton is not a badass name, no matter how hard you try to make it sound.
You can maybe, what if his name was, like, Dakota Hamilton?
I hear Hamilton, I think of the pig from Toy
Story. I think Hamilton of Alexander Hamilton, the former treasurer, or secretary of treasury.
Oh, yeah, there was the president. He was kind of batshit insane.
He wasn't president. He was secretary.
I'm thinking of the other... I'm thinking of Jackson. Censor that out so no one knows how silly I am.
So, I'm just trying to, like, cover these characters here. We got him, like, wait, did Rourke ever say anything? He did in cutscenes. I don't know if he ever said anything when you were playing as him. But then you had this, Native American, healer with you.
Named Yakekon.
Yakekon? Like,
or
I could,
something.
Yeah, we just called her Underboob because she wore this outfit where it was, like, half a vest that showed most of her breast.
See, when I was playing, she seemed to always be the character that got shot a lot and that you had to go and save because she's a good healer. And who did, like, no healing.
Yeah, none. She didn't help at all.
But, yeah. And I'm thinking, gee, maybe if you put on a shirt, you wouldn't die so easily. I know, I think a big problem with this game is that it couldn't decide what it wanted to be. There were, like, jumping puzzles, Assassin's Creed style, which could have flowed much better if you didn't have to press Shift, Space, D, this whole combination of keys. So it tried to be Assassin's Creed, but then it's mainly a third-person shooter, so it was trying to be, like, an action puzzle game.
Right.
And then it also had these drawn-out cutscenes where nothing made sense. So it tried to have a story. It tried really hard to have a story, but it failed.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know exactly what was going on the whole game. Like, and I didn't care what was going on because the characters were so uninteresting. They're like 1D characters that weren't even fleshed out. I remember, what was it, the doctor? What was his name?
Winslow.
He was like your companion with you in like the first mission before he gets kidnapped. And he has this completely monotone voice.
Oh.
I swear he was one of the, the guys who narrated Thomas the Tank Engine. Like, I heard the voice and it's like, I know that voice. That was from Thomas the Tank Engine when I was a kid. That was him.
It's even better because my favorite line in the game was something like, give it a try, Commander, if you've got a pair, coming from this Thomas the Tank Engine character.
Yeah, so it's like, come on, Commander, if you've got a pair. And it was like, that line's supposed to be delivered, like, by a badass, not by, like...
this wimpy doctor with a proton pack on his back.
Yeah, he had, like, this steam pack on that he never used for anything. And he just seemed to, like... Like, apparently everything in this world was, like, his invention. So it was, like, whenever you came across a problem, he was like, don't worry, I invented this, I can fix it. It was like, thanks. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, asshat. It's like, you know what, I bet he's like Edison. You know how Edison just stole all these great ideas from Tesla?
Yes.
I bet there is another Tesla and Winston is like, that's mine. Whoopee, that's mine.
So there was like Mexican guy ends up showing up to help you out. And apparently like, yeah. A whole army
no,
was...
No, he's from Terra Verte. Totally not Mexico.
It was supposed to be, an army was supposed to show up, but then only he showed up because his father was too aligned with Prescott?
No, Terra Verte tries to stay neutral, and then they can't because they're dragged into the war for some unexplored reason.
On what side, though?
Oh, who cares?
The whole reason I brought this up is because I didn't really know what they were doing. I mean, if
exactly.
And his father's the leader of this faux Mexico.
It's Terra Verte.
Yeah. And so he's got to be like have some power. Is he like a prince or something?
Something.
I don't understand.
I don't really think it matters.
So
he's, I don't know, maybe he's like the son of the president, because still technically America, I think. So I've gotten myself over confused over a game that doesn't have a storyline. Forget.
So you mentioned some of the game mechanics and how the game can't seem to figure out what it wants to do, because you got like these aerobatic kind of Assassin's Creed things that you go on, which are actually like poorly executed, because like you have to hit the same button when you start it and end it to get in and out of like these tricks, instead of like fluidly doing them by just hitting arrow keys and stuff. And which is, the keys on this are terribly laid out on the PC, by the way. Like, shift is, like, action, but also spacebar is action, but for different actions. There was no, I for so many times, I was like, I can't get off the wall! And I'm like, oh, I have to hit shift. Or control. Sometimes control was, like, some sort of action button. Then, with guns, too, you had to basically stop moving in order to use your gun, because you had to zoom in with like your right click on the butt on the mouse to like be able to even pull out a weapon.
And the camera was no help for any of this either. You know, games like these, they might have an auto-adjusting camera or something. You had to do it manually, and you had to spin the whole world around you just to see like if you were doing it right.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to jump off the edge of yet another canyon.
And the one of the weapons was like a sniper rifle that you got, but you couldn't like zoom in and use like its scope or anything. It just like showed up as like a smaller reticle on the screen.
Right.
It's like, oh, it's smaller so that it won't spread. But like you couldn't hit anybody with it because you couldn't like zoom in like you can with any.
But you don't have time because there's six people shooting at you.
And then the
good thing. Oh, sorry.
I was just gonna say the AI is pretty awful in this game. It it's like the developers placed these NPCs
cardboard cutouts
on places in the map. It's like they don't spawn or anything. They're just placed on the map, and then they don't move until like you get near them.
You know what it was like? Remember that scene in Home Alone where the bandits come by the house?
Yeah.
And it looks like there's a party, except it's like a cardboard stand-up on a railroad track, so it looks like it's moving. It was like these terrible NPCs who all looked the same were on tracks like that, and they could only move this limited distance.
Yeah, they didn't, like, come after you or anything. Like, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, come on, come at me so I can, like, surprise you and get you. But they just stayed in one place.
Yeah. Now, here's one thing. Sometimes this works really well in games. Sometimes it doesn't. But regenerating health.
Yes.
You didn't have a health bar. And when you got really low on health, the screen would just get grayer and grayer, and you would lose color.
Yeah.
Because apparently that's what dying was like. And
I guess.
So yeah, I guess. And normally, you know, the first couple times this happened to me, I'm like, oh god, I'm gonna die. And then playing it later on, I'm like, oh no, I'm losing some color. I'm gonna move and stand inside this house for about 5 seconds, then everything is back to normal. I mean, theoretically, you could go through the whole game without killing another person.
It'd be a little more interesting if your healer would show up. Yeah. Although we still managed to die. There's like these sliding ropes you had to go down a lot of times. And did you get stuck trying to cross a rope and you couldn't get off of it?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember, yeah. You got stuck on the rope and all the action buttons couldn't get you off this rope. And then I just got fed up and I just started hitting, like smearing my hand across the keyboard like it was a piano, until finally the character fell off. And I was like, there you go. Jeez. I was standing there for half an hour trying to get off this rope and I had to smash the whole keyboard. I hope I didn't start any other programs.
Yeah, and most of the time when I died, it wasn't from, like, getting shot at, because, oh, here's the wall, I'm gonna hide behind this for 10 seconds, everything's back to normal. It was trying to drive a horrible motorcycle over cliffs, or trying to jump from one rooftop to another. But most of the time, what really should have killed you...
So, I just wanna... This game was, how this game came about was there was like some kind of mod development program that happened with what's the company that makes the Unreal engine?
Oh, I have no idea.
Epic Games. Yeah. And like it was Unreal Tournament 3 that this was a mod for, and then they won the competition and they got to go ahead to make a full retail game. So it's all based, they made this game based on the engine and stuff. You know, you're probably, these guys are probably pretty psyched and having a great time. They were the developers called themselves Blue Omega Entertainment, and just to, they were a film and video game company located in Annapolis, Maryland, founded in 2003. The company made two horror films, Dark Ride and Danica. I don't know what they were. And then they go and make their first video game, Damnation.
You should look up those games for your other podcasts or those movies.
Oh yeah, I might look that up. That'd be good. But the Codemasters, I mean not Codemasters, Blue Omega was went out of business and dismantled after the failure of this game.
Ouch.
Like it feels like maybe they were like a group of friends that probably were doing these, and then like, you know, they get their dream of making a video game and it just fails. It's really kind of sad.
I think there were a lot of really cool ideas in here.
Yes.
Like, the serum, okay, so the serum was this plot point that made super soldiers. And then it was highly addictive, and people went crazy with it. And they could have really done something with that.
What would you have done
with the serum?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I would have played up the whole addiction part.
Huh?
I would have played up the whole addiction part. Maybe show Prescott's army slowly going crazy over the course of the game.
Hell, maybe your characters start using it, and then you have to get them off or something.
And then the whole...
Well, Intervention, the video game.
And then the whole Steampunk Civil War. That could have been carried out a lot better. I'm not sure if I would have done this whole...
Abraham Lincoln Mecca.
Yeah, Mecca Lincoln. I would have wanted Abraham Lincoln to just come save the day.
I know, he didn't even have like a cameo.
He just showed up in the intro, which was supposed to somehow explain what was going on in the game.
It did not.
It didn't help at all.
So, one of the big things about this game is that when you're doing a science fiction or fantasy story, like, if you look in a novel, there are basically two ways to explain the world that it's set into the audience, and one is through heaping amounts of exposition, which is basically every other page in The Hunger Games, because the author doesn't believe in subtlety, that I can't speak. And then the other one is by having a straight man, which is a character who is brand new to the group, doesn't know anything about the world, like Harry in the Harry Potter books, and the other characters have to teach him, and the audience learns right along with him.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're doing a game or a movie, you don't really have the option of a lot of exposition. I mean, you could put it in long, lengthy cutscenes if you like, but no one really enjoys that because games were meant to be played. I'm talking to you, Final Fantasy XIII. And one of the major failings of this game was you didn't know what was going on, largely because straight man, basically.
There's no one
to explain the plot to. It's all just, like, taken for granted. Well, the captain knows this, so why do you need to?
Yeah, we were introduced to the fact that his wife was being held captive through, like, a really brief and, like, confusing cutscene. Like, I really wasn't sure. I was like, was that his wife? His girlfriend? What was this going on? And then they're like, don't worry, we'll find her. Or something like that. And I was like, would have been nice to, like, bring this about a little clearer.
I'm pretty sure they introduced that character only so we would care about Rourke. But I didn't know who she was, so there was very little sympathy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, folks, that's been the first edition of Last Coin at the Arcade. We hope you enjoyed. Apologies for some of the audio quality at the moment. We're in the process of procuring Dear Catherine a microphone. So hopefully we'll have a little better audio quality once we get her a new pretty microphone. This has been Lucas Wilson
and Kay Norton
with you from Last Coin at the Arcade.